Now we want to have a couple of songs to sing before we get into the message. So the first one will be page 130, well, in this Evening Light songbook. It's called Press the Battle On. Press the battle on, and certainly that's a real need.
Forward, forward is the battle cry. Onward, onward to our home on high. We will conquer, for the Lord or die. The foes retreating, press the battle on. Strengthened by the mighty power of heaven, we shall conquer, we shall conquer, till the raging foe afar is driven. Press the battle on. Forward, forward, never faint or fear. Christ our captain is forever near. Be courageous, full of hope and cheer. With full assurance, press the battle on. Strengthened by the mighty power of heaven, we shall conquer, we shall conquer, till the raging foe afar is driven. Press the battle on. Forward, forward, put the foe to flight. We are battling for the truth and right. We shall triumph in Jehovah's might. Then do not falter, press the battle on. Strengthened by the mighty power of heaven, we shall conquer, we shall conquer, till the raging foe afar is driven. Press the battle on. Forward, forward, there's a crown before. See it shining on that heavenly shore. We shall wear it when the conflict's o'er. The prize is waiting, press the battle on. Strengthened by the mighty power of heaven, we shall conquer, we shall conquer, till the raging foe afar is driven. Press the battle on.
Then also we want to, in the Evening Light, do page 223, I'm Going On. Page 223, I'm Going On.
I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. Defeat I shall not know, for God will give me victory if onward I shall go. I'm going on, I'm going on, until the final triumph. I'm going on, I'm going on, I'm going on, until the final triumph. I'm going on. Should opposition come, should foes obstruct my way, should persecution's fires be lit as in the ancient day, with Jesus by my side, his peace within my soul, no matter if the battle's hot, I mean going on. Then forward let us go, our hearts with love aflame, our snowy banner borne aloft in stride with Jesus' name. The host from evil flee, and heaven's open gates invite thee now to hasten where eternal glory waits. I'm going on, I'm going on, until the final triumph. I'm going on, I'm going on, I'm going on, until the final triumph. I'm going on.
Now we want to look into the Word of God tonight. And we want to turn to the book of Hebrews, 12th chapter. We're only going to read three verses there. It says this, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Tonight I want to talk to you for just a while on the Christian race. Here in these few verses, the writer of the Hebrews laid out before us a brief outline of the Christian race. The writer of the Hebrews says in the very first verse, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What are the cloud of witnesses? Those mentioned in the previous chapter. They were able to run a race, and they also were able to finish successfully. They are witnesses to us that the race can be started, it can be run, and it can be finished without giving in to any obstacles that are meant to deter us from finishing that what is set before every Christian. The Hebrew writer tells us how to start, how to run, and how to finish the race set before us. The words of the Apostle Paul we want to use also as a companion text. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse number 24 says this, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain the corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We all know that we are in a race, and that race has been set before us. We do not run in an uncertain manner. We run to win, that we might attain. In order to do this, one must give themselves wholly to God and make this their whole aim in their life. And then he said they lay aside every weight. Hebrews 12:1, amen, and renounce all sin and all its attachments. Christians cannot allow themselves to be diverted from the object, but keep the goal constantly in view. When they do not waver or grow weary, amen, in their course, then they deny themselves and keep their eyes fully fixed on Christ. Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, Jesus who started your faith and is the finisher of your faith. We cannot and dare not take our eyes off of Jesus or we'll become shipwrecked and wind up lost. Mm-hmm. I say this tonight, dear ones, Why strive in religion all your life and then miss it in the end? We run to obtain. To attain is to take hold. Amen. To strive means to agonize, and also means contend with the enemy. Jesus used that same word in Luke 13:24 when he said, strive to enter at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. To agonize, to contend with the enemy, and work hard to overcome. Sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes it's extremely difficult. Sometimes you don't think you're going to make it. But we run to obtain, to take hold of the prize. Amen. An incorruptible crown, amen, which is the crown of life. The crown is given when one endures temptation. Amen. I say don't give in to temptation and don't commit sin. Listen to what James says. James 1, first chapter, verse number 12, says this. Blessed are the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We can endure temptation because of the Spirit of God and the life that God has put within us. John the 10th chapter, verse number 10 says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Victory comes to those who overcome, and we overcome by the life of Christ which dwells within. 1 John the 4th chapter, verse number 4 says this, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yes. We dare not, dear ones, tonight give room to the flesh, for if we do, we'll die, spiritually speaking. Amen. Romans the 8th chapter, verse number 13, Paul writes this, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Acts the 17th chapter, verse number 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. The glory of our accomplishments belongs to Christ. We dare not attempt to stand in our own strength. Listen to the warning the Apostle Paul gave the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 10 chapter, verse number 12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. When I say tonight, when we are the ones who are doing the standing, or we are the ones who are doing all the thinking, and we don't lean on Christ, then that's when we're going to fall. Paul said not to run as uncertainty, otherwise not aimlessly. Paul knew what he was aiming for. He had a goal, and he had a crown in view. Run the race as certain, with a goal, just like the athlete does. Work at serving God like the athlete does in preparing for competition.
Yes.
Whenever a Christian has a goal to be more like Jesus, amen, God will help him to attain it. The writer of the Hebrews, amen, the Hebrew letter says this, lets us know when we can run with inspiration. The first verse says, in Hebrews the 12th chapter, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Witnesses to the fact that it pays to serve God. Witnesses to the fact that no matter what the trial is, we can still reach our goal.
Yes.
It pays to be true to God. In the good times, in the bad times, all times, it pays to serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. Not only were there witnesses in the Old Testament, but also there are some in the New Testament. Their performance is a witness, amen, to our performance. The life of these witnesses comes to our mind when we're in the midst of a trial or affliction. For example, how did Enoch react when it seems like the whole world was given over to the flesh? The Bible lets us know, with all that going on around him, he still pleased God. Hebrews 11 chapter, verse number 5 says this, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Amen. Genesis 5:22, listen to this about Enoch. And Enoch walked with God, after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And then there's Noah. How about Noah? When given the command to build the ark, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Then there's Moses. How about Moses when the treasures of Egypt were all his to have? Hebrews 11 chapter, verse 24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses is a witness that no matter how enticing the entertainments of the world are, it's best to choose to walk with God. These are the witnesses the scripture's talking about. All these witnesses had a good report. The writer of the Hebrews went through quite a list in the 11th chapter. Ones who went through fiery trials, torture, beyond that which we suffer. And verse 39 of the 11th chapter says this, these all have attained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. Their lies will cheer you and I on to the finish line. If they can make it without the promise, where does that leave you and me who have Christ, the power of God, in our soul? We also have the witness of the apostles, the martyrs, the reformers, and even this day of ones who have stayed true to God. Their lives, their testimony, their faithfulness surrounds us to encourage us. Amen. It encourages us to run the race right. Amen. And when we do that, there has to be some discipline. Paul said, I bring my body into subjection. You cannot run in this race successfully, weighted down with things that so easily beset you. You have to shed that which is a hindrance to your soul. Habits, pleasures, associations, loving of ourselves more than God. The Hebrew writer mentions this, lay aside every weight. What is a weight? Which would put you at a disadvantage in running. Weights could be things that hinder you from assembling yourself, hinders you from praying. Amen. A weight could hinder you from reading the Word of God. Weights that hinder you from being the witness you know you should be. It could be just things that take all of your attention and time so that it robs you of your time you would spend with the Lord. It could be something like a temper that you lose control over. It masters you instead of you mastering it. Bursts of temper not only are wrong, but they also can be embarrassing to you. Temper will cause you to do childish things if not brought under control. Whatever the Lord shows you is a weight. That's what you need to get rid of and to gain victory over it. One thing you don't want to do is nurse it, excuse it, or cherish it, but rather lay it aside. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 10, verse number 40, familiar scriptures, but so fits right in with the message tonight. Luke 10 and 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Cumbered about so much that she was missing out on the greatest need. The soul. Nourishment for the soul is the greatest need that we have. To be cumbered about means to be distracted. Often, wrong associations could also be a weight. If we're not careful, it'll drain our spiritual life from every one of us. You cannot keep your eyes on the goal while running with one who's headed in the wrong direction. You cannot perfect holiness and run with those who are against the truth. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse number 14, says this, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. I say you cannot be perfected and still have fellowship with unrighteousness. And in the 7th chapter, verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Otherwise, when God shows you that these things are a hindrance to your soul, what he say to do? Cleanse ourselves. Yes. And he calls it filthiness of the flesh and spirit. What will it do? Perfect holiness. Let us lay aside every weight. It could be slothfulness. And I say you cannot be lazy and amount to much as a Christian. Proverbs, the 24th chapter, verse number 30. The writer of the Proverbs says this, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall therefore was broken down. Then I saw, and I considered it well. I looked upon it, and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth not, and thy want as an armed man. When preaching to the congregation, I have told him, in upstate New York, when I lived in New York, and I was a young lad. I used to work on a farm. And the farm was a very large farm. We milked about 40 cows. It was just a great layout for a farm. The buildings were kept up. Amen. Everything was painted and grass was cut. The weeds and everything were torn out. The fields, amen, looked real great. The buildings, the equipment. They passed away The original family passed away there and was turned to their grandsons. And I went by that same farm while I was in upstate New York. There on vacation, I drove by it and I thought of this passage right there. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Grown over with thorns and nettles covered the face thereof, the stone wall thereof was broken down, how the buildings, amen, had depreciated, and how the paint had run off, and how the buildings were just in disarray, and how the fields also needed, amen, attention. And those scriptures come to my mind. Because what? Somebody failed to keep it up. And that's just how it works in our experience. If we fail to keep it up, the same thing applies to us. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The sin that so easily besets us. The sin you continually stumble over, it besets you. It's a sin that entangles you. He said, run with patience, perseverance, not fading, not growing weary, enduring to the end. Look at the great cloud of witnesses for encouragement. Not to those who have given up, but those who have endured to the end. I read a very interesting article that goes right along with the message, telling that during the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City, it says the last runner to finish in the marathon was an athlete from Tanzania, that would be in Africa. He had a very difficult race, to say the least. He stumbled at one point, ended up bruised, bloody, even with a broken leg, but he didn't quit. And even though everyone else had already finished the race and gone home, he kept at it. Finally, it says at 7 in the evening, he straggled into a near empty stadium. There were about 7,000 people on hand to witness his finish. And all 7,000 stood, giving this battered athlete a standing ovation as he finished his last lap. When this dedicated marathoner was asked, why didn't you quit? He simply responded, my country did not send me halfway around the world to start the race. They sent me to finish it. We have to admire such dedication. He had every justification for quitting, but he didn't. Why? He kept his eyes focused on a higher motive. And that was, he would not disgrace his country. How do we finish? Verse 2, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We don't start in the spiritual race to quit and disgrace our Lord. He gave us everything we need to finish the race and finish it successfully. Yes. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 6, Paul writes this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Paul said he was confident. Amen. Being confident. And that's very strong language. It means to be fully and firmly persuaded or convinced. Christ starts to work, and he'll continue working in our lives if we let him. The witnesses we are surrounded with are there cheering us on to the end. Let us not grow lax, cold, indifferent, lukewarm, but let us work as never before, as it will be well worth it in the end. Even though the runner in the marathon we read about was bruised, bloodied, and had a broken leg, he didn't quit. And that was for a corruptible crown. He didn't want to disgrace his country and we don't want to disgrace our Lord. The race isn't about, it isn't without obstacles. It isn't without hardships. Amen. It has its disappointments. But what does the Bible say about it? 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Paul was convinced that anything he had to suffer in this world would be as nothing compared with the glory he would enjoy in the next. Let's read about a little about his light affliction as we prepare to close. 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. Listen to what Paul mentions. And this was some of his light afflictions. Verse 23 in 2 Corinthians 11. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. And labors more abundant, and stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Are the Jews 5 times? Received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often, hunger and thirst and fastings often, cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Paul said in verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ? We know they were professors of Christianity." Amen. "We know they were genuine Jews, and they had endeavored to incorporate both systems." Amen. Judaism plus Christianity. Amen. "They meant to oblige those who had believed to be circumcised." Amen. And with that bondage, amen, they tried to bring that to the believing Corinthians. Paul said, "I am more. I'm more of a minister of Christ than they are. And I have given full proof of it. I've suffered persecution for the cross of Christ and of the Jews too. Amen. And had I preached of the necessity of circumcision," he said, "I should have been as free from opposition as ye are." And although Paul suffered many things in his ministerial life, he was able to finish his course successfully. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse number 6. Listen to his testimony as he's about ready to leave this world. He said, "For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing." In closing, there isn't any reason why each one of us can't finish our race and finish it successfully, especially if we stay on the course that God has laid out for each and every one of us. We're in a race.
Yes.
And it's laid out before every one of us. But Christ has given us everything we need to finish that race. And like I said before, finish it successfully. And I trust that you do that tonight. If for any reason, any obstacle has detoured you from the race, you want to turn back to Christ and get back on the course that's set before you. We're going to look to the Lord in prayer. Our eternal God and Heavenly Father, we lift our voice tonight, thanking and praising Thee for being so good to us. And Lord God, we pray that You take the message, oh God, and those, Lord, that may be struggling, those that might be having a very difficult time. We all go through difficulties. We go through different obstacles that try to hinder. But Lord, we pray that You'd help them get back on course. Get back on, Lord God, that which You've laid out before them. We know this, Lord. You'll give them everything they need to finish the race. Bless tonight, Lord. Thank You, Lord God, for, Lord God, Your word tonight. Lord, it's a strength and it's a help to each and every one of us. Bless each and every one. Amen. That heard the words. Lord, Your glory. Amen.